Well, we're continuing our series on 2 Timothy. We've been here for several weeks now, and we're getting close to the end of it. But I've taken a couple weeks here to focus on Paul's declaration about, I've fought the good fight, I've finished the race, I've kept the faith, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. And so I want us to kind of go back, and we looked last week about I fought the good fight. We talked about who and what Paul and all of us are fighting against. Specifically, we said we're fighting against the world and the flesh and the devil. Well, this morning I want to examine that next declaration that Paul said, not only have I fought the good fight, but that I've finished the race. The King James Version reads, I have finished my course. So it was a course they were to run, a race they were to run. This is kind of a one-point sermon, all right? So if you're counting on 3 points or something, there's really just one point to this whole thing. And this was what I felt like the Lord dropped in my heart to share with you today. And so I'll point that out here in a minute. On more than one occasion, Paul uses athletic endeavors as a metaphor in his letters to talk about the Christian faith or the race that we're running. He states earlier in chapter 2 of 2 Timothy that if anyone competes as an athlete, he says he doesn't receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. And in 1 Corinthians, Paul says this, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Everybody who competes in the games goes into strict training. It seems that at this point in his life, Paul's looking back at his life when he writes 2 Timothy 4, and he says that I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, that he's looking back as his life is like a race course that he's completed. Now, he's coming to the end of his life. It's possible that Paul was thinking of an obstacle course because life has plenty of obstacles that we're going to, and challenges we're going to face. All of us have a course to run, a race, whether it's a mile run or whether we're running cross country or whatever, but there's a course that's laid out. You don't get to choose your own course if you're running. I know I saw on Facebook yesterday, Jordan Dunn ran a marathon yesterday. Well, you don't get to just map out your own course. Everybody's running the same 26 miles or whatever to complete the marathon. So there's a course that's laid out. And the truth is, Paul says, it'll have its obstacles, it'll be challenging, it's constant, right? That somebody said about life, it's so daily. It just comes up every day. You're just going to have to run the race every day. And there'll be enemies to fight, there'll be obstacles to face. We'll get tired and fatigued and discouraged, but we have a race to run. And Paul says, run in such a way as to get the prize and complete the course. Paul wrote 1st and 2nd Corinthians to the church in Corinth. And there were ancient, they were called the Isthmian Games, I-S-T-H-M-I-A-N, the Isthmian Games that were held in Corinth. So when he wrote to the church there, and when he talked about running a race, or he talks about boxing or whatever, when he talks about those athletic endeavors, they got it. They understood his reference because every other year, every 4 years, there were these games that they experienced. And so they understood that. They knew what he meant about going into strict training. In order to run our race, to complete the course God has for us, it's going to require discipline. There's no other way to do it. We won't be able to finish any other way. You'll have to say no to some things when you're in strict training, all right? You can't break training, you get kicked off the team or whatever. You'll have to say no to some things. You'll say yes to some other things, and the choices you make won't always be easy, nor will those choices always be well received by others. There'll be plenty of opportunities to quit and to give up and to give in. It'll require perseverance. Paul's already told us that we'll have to endure hardship like a soldier. We'll have to run in spite of enemies and opposition. That's just how it goes. There'll be dogs chasing you, neighbors chasing you. I don't know, but we'll encounter those things. And if you're a runner, then you are aware already. You have to push through injuries. There are times when you're going to run with shin splints. There's times you're going to run with blisters on your feet. You're going to run in with some back pain. You're going to run, I remember, do they still make you run like bleachers? Did you guys have to run bleachers? Do you? They still do that? It's torture, isn't it? Yeah, you still do it? All right. So just checking there. So, yeah, I can remember running bleachers, and I think I remember running them at maybe Center at ORU. You still have to run those? Yeah. Well, anyway, you still have to climb a rope. They still make you climb a rope. Is there not a rope? Thank the Lord for that. You've all been delivered from something that was like torture when we were in junior high school. Well, anyway, I don't have time for all that, but good to know that you don't have to climb ropes. But you're gonna have to run. Blisters on your feet, back pain, good weather, bad weather, cold, rain, sleet, whatever. We'll run alone sometimes. We'll keep running not only when we've got enemies, but sometimes we've got Christians. We've got friends that are gonna reject us or wound us or injure us or offend us or snub us somehow or another. We're gonna run when we don't feel like it. We're gonna run when we just don't want to, but we'll keep on running because we have a course to complete. Olympic athletes train. They run, Paul says, for a crown that won't last. And in the ancient games, they were given a garland wreath on their head. It was going to die in a couple of days. We run, though, not only to please Jesus, but to complete that course and receive that victor's crown that Jesus himself will present to us when we complete the course. So Paul says, this is what I've done. I've finished the course. We'll have to run with courage because the course will lead through some dark places and some difficult places. We'll run through enemy territory. We may have to run a gauntlet every once in a while. And the psalmist even said we would run through the valley of the shadow of death. We're going to keep on running. And Paul says to run in such a way as to win. It's going to require faith. We'll run when we aren't sure of the path. We're unsure of what's ahead. But we'll keep running because Jesus said, this is the way. This is the way, so keep walking, keep running. I'll make sure there's enough light for the next step. We may not be able to see to the end of it, but we'll be able to see the next step. I remember years ago, we'd gone to Russia to sing, and I think we were in, like, it was the most radioactive, other than Chernobyl, it had, like, the highest content of radioactivity, like, in the wastewater and stuff. It gave you confidence to have a drink out of the tap. But anyway, so they took us to this hotel, and they said, well, we'll take you to your rooms. It was like this long hallway, and we would walk in the dark, and all of a sudden the light would come on, and we'd keep walking, and another light would come on, and we'd turn a corner, and a light would come on. It was like there were automatic lights everywhere. I'd just never seen it before. But every step suddenly would be illuminated. We didn't know where we were going, but we'd have 10 more feet, and then we'd be in the dark, and then 10 more feet. And I think Jesus kind of says, I'll give you enough light to see the next corner, the next step. I'm going to lead you through this, but you're going to keep running the race. Run in faith. And we'll run with confidence because the one who called us has been this way before, and he knows the way. Don't stop running. Keep running and run in a way that you'll be able to finish the race and you'll be able to finish strong. So Paul ran and completed the race. But I want you to remember something about his race and about his course. And so this is the one and only point to this. This was the point of this sermon. And that is, the course he completed wasn't the course he began. You guys from retreat, you can write that down. The course he completed wasn't the course he began. Paul all of a sudden has a dramatic course change, a course correction. So the second thing, but it's the same point. It's not too late for a course correction. It's not too late for you to chart a new course for your life, to run a different kind of race, to run a race and finish strong. It's not too late for you to do that. If you have GPS in your car, or I drive a Chevrolet, so I've got OnStar in there, and I can push a button and a nice person says, Mr. Taylor, how can we help you? And I say, I need navigation to whatever the address, and they say, okay, downloading that. And then in a little bit, I'll hear a nice voice say, in 100 yards, take the exit on your right. And then because I am of the male persuasion, there are times when I say, I don't think that's the way to get there. I think that'll take me 5 miles out of the way. I just don't think I want to do that. And so I ignore it, and I go on down and take, apologies, just saying, just do what they say. No, I'm telling you, this is going to be faster. And then I hear that nice lady say, recalculating. Sometimes I hear her say, recalculating, recalculating, recalculating. It's like she's starting to scold before it's over with. And so what I'm telling you this morning is, here's another phrase for you. It's not too late to recalculate. Maybe that ought to be a bumper sticker for you. It's not too late to recalculate. It's not too late for you to chart a new course in your life today. It's not too late for a course correction. You can recalculate. So Paul said, I've finished the course, but remember the course that he started originally. And he told the church at Philippi about the way he had begun the race, the course that he had started for himself. He said, I was circumcised on the eighth day, according to the Jewish law, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. He called himself a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to the law, he said, I was a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church, as for legalistic righteousness, faultless. By the first century, there were 613 laws of Judaism. The Rambam had spelled them out somewhere along the line. This was probably a little after Paul's time, but there were 613 laws. Paul says, when it comes to legalistic righteousness, I was faultless. He kept all the laws of kosher food and how to wash and how to clean and all the dietary restrictions, everything else, he kept it all. And Paul tells us in Acts that he started his course as a Pharisee, part of this strictest sect of Judaism. He was the son of a Pharisee, he says in Acts 23. He lived as a Pharisee, he says in Acts 26. And after Jesus' death and resurrection and the empowerment of Pentecost, the followers of Jesus begin to preach the message of salvation and forgiveness through faith in the name of Jesus. And more people believed. And Paul, convinced that Jesus was a blasphemer and a charlatan who had deceived people, and that now his followers were deceiving people, claiming that Jesus was the Messiah and that he had risen from the dead, Paul joined the chief priests and others in trying to stop the spread of this new faith. And so in Acts 26, in his address to King Agrippa, Paul says, I too was convinced that I ought to do all that was possible to oppose the name of Jesus of Nazareth. That was the course. I'm going to do whatever is necessary to stop the spread of this heresy about Jesus. He says, and that's just what I did in Jerusalem. On the authority of the chief priests, I put many of the saints in prison, and when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. He was given the thumbs up for execution. Many a time I went from one synagogue to another to have them punished, and I tried to force them to blaspheme. Think of that. Tried to force them to blaspheme, to speak against the name of Jesus. In my obsession against them, that's how seriously Paul had took this. In my obsession against them, I even went to foreign cities to persecute them. He admitted he was obsessed with stamping out Christianity and putting an end to spreading this doctrine about Jesus. And it was on one of those journeys to a foreign city, Damascus of Syria, in Syria, that the course of Paul's life changed dramatically and eternally. Luke tells us Paul was on his way with letters to the synagogues from the chief priest, authorizing him to arrest anyone who belonged to what Paul called the way, the Christian faith. Didn't matter if they were male or female, he could arrest them and take them back as prisoners to Jerusalem, where they would be tried by the Sanhedrin and whatever the outcome would be. And Luke writes, as he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, and at this time Paul was known as Saul, 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 why do you persecute me? And Saul asked, who are you, Lord? Not meaning Lord like we talk about Jesus, but Lord simply somebody that's powerful enough to knock me off, you know, to the ground and speak to me and not see anything. Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus whom you're persecuting, he replied. Now get up and go into the city and you'll be told what you must do. Talk about recalculating. A dramatic course change in the middle of the course. Paul, then known as Saul, knew the race he was to run. He knew the course that he was to pursue. He knew what he was doing. He knew where he was going as a Pharisee. He knew where he was going as a persecutor of the church. He had a plan, a course that he thought was laid out for him. He was going to stamp out this Christian heresy. He was going to save Judaism from liberalism. He was going to make sure they walked in that kind of pure holiness that he thought God was calling them to, and they didn't need Jesus or any of this, but God had another plan and another course for him to run. It was time to recalculate. It was time for him to change course and to run the race that God had prepared for him. Paul literally didn't see this course change coming, because when he got up from the ground, he couldn't see anything. He was blind. He couldn't run the old course anymore because he couldn't see it anymore. His companions led him into the city, and Luke tells us for 3 days, Paul was blind. He didn't eat or drink. He was just fasting and praying, waiting to hear from God, waiting to figure out what's next and how do we go from where, from here to there? What's next? Where to from here, kind of a thing. And while Paul was waiting in darkness and praying for direction, the Lord spoke to another follower of Jesus that lived in Damascus named Ananias. And the Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he's praying. And in a vision, he's seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. No pressure there, Ananias, but Paul's already seen you in a vision and knows you by name, so don't mess this up. And I love this. Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm he's done to your saints in Jerusalem. And I don't know if you know this, Lord, but he's come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest everybody that calls on your name. I mean, word had gotten out about Paul's mission, but you have to appreciate the response of Ananias, feeling like he needed to let the Lord in on some information that perhaps had slipped God's desk in heaven somehow or another. Well, we're all kind of guilty of that at times, that we presume to probably we know some stuff that God doesn't know. And so I got to bring this to your attention, Lord. I don't know if you know this, but this guy cannot be trusted, all right? This guy has been wreaking havoc on the Christians. This is not a good plan. But the Lord said to Ananias, just go, will you? It doesn't say just go, but I think that was it. Just go. Trust me on this, Ananias. I know. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel, and I'll show him how much he must suffer for my name. I love that. This man is my chosen instrument. God chose him. And God had a new course for Paul. And let me just tell you this morning, God's chosen you. You're here by his design, plan, and purpose. You've got an appointment. You're supposed to hear this. You're watching this morning online because God has chosen you. He's got a plan for you, and it may not look like the course you thought you were going to run. Where you are right now and the choice you make to serve Jesus and to live for him and to walk with him, this may not be the course you expected. This may not be, you may not be where you thought you were going to be, but God says, I've chosen you. I've got a plan for you. And it's a good plan. You can trust me if you'll run the race that I've laid out before you. It may be different than the one you've been running before, but that's because it's time to recalculate. It's time to make a new choice and a decision. And trust me, whether you're 16 or 106, it's not too late to recalculate. It's not too late for you to make a choice to go the direction and to run the race and finish strong the way Jesus calls us to finish. So Ananias did as he was instructed. He went to the house, found Saul, just as the Lord had said. And I love this about Ananias. 3 days before, Saul was coming to persecute and lock up people just like Ananias. The last thing he would have thought about with him was Paul or Saul being his brother. But he walks in and says, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, he sent me so that you can see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. And he got up and was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. From a persecutor of the church, an enemy of Jesus, with his course all planned out, Saul begins a new course to run as Paul, a baptized believer, a follower of Jesus. And Jesus had a new course, a new plan for Paul, a new race to run. And Luke tells us at once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. For Paul's entire life, as long as from the time his daddy as a Pharisee, taught him the Shema, the great prayer, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one." Paul had said it every morning and every night. He had repeated that prayer, that declaration, "The Lord our God is one." And all of a sudden, everybody knows God doesn't have a son. There's nothing else. All of a sudden, he's standing in the synagogue declaring that Jesus is the Son of God, declaring, though God is one, but he's manifested to us in three persons as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I mean, you talk about a change in direction. Everything about him changed. He goes from being so legalistic in this, now he begins to be the one who preaches the gospel of grace, that there is salvation to us, not through the righteous works we do, but through the merits of Jesus Christ and our faith in him. There's forgiveness of sins, that we can't be righteous enough, but Jesus becomes our righteousness. And if anybody's in Christ, he becomes a new creation, and old things have passed away. And Paul begins to declare the truth of the gospel. Talk about a change in direction. He goes from being a persecutor to himself being persecuted. He came with orders to arrest people and possibly have them executed for following Jesus. And now Luke tells us that suddenly he's the one that they're trying to kill for the same reason. It says that after many days had gone by, the Jews conspired to kill him. This is verse 23 of chapter 9. But Saul learned of their plan, and day and night they kept close watch on the city gates in order to kill him. But his followers took him by night and lowered him in a basket through an opening in the wall. The Pharisee of Pharisees, the Hebrew of Hebrews, suddenly sneaking out of town in a laundry basket, lowered down from the wall. When he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing he was really a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord, and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So Saul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem and spoke boldly in the name of the Lord. And then the Grecian Jews tried to kill him, and when the brothers learned of this, they took him down to Caesarea Maritime, and they sent him off to Tarsus. Listen, he'd gone from a persecutor to being persecuted and pursued, but what made the difference in his life? You already know the answer. It was that encounter he had with Jesus on the road to Damascus. Saul met Jesus on that road, and everything, the course of his life, the race he was to run, was forever altered. And what followed was a lifetime of living for Jesus and sacrificing everything for Jesus, and serving Jesus became the passion and the purpose of Paul's life. He discovered that although there may be a course we thought we should pursue, God's got a better plan if we'll say yes to him. And listen to me this morning, God has a plan for you. It's a course that he's laid out for you to run, and it leads to righteousness and peace and joy and purpose. It begins with meeting Jesus and having an encounter with him. And if you'll ask him to save you and forgive your sins, if you'll surrender your heart and life to him, he can and will change everything. You can start running a new course for your life, running his course this time. We've got teenagers here. You were part of that retreat this weekend as the Lord spoke to your heart, and he's saying to you, you got a brand new race to run. I know what it was last year, last week, last month, but I know what it is because you made a choice last night, perhaps. You've set a new course. You're going to run differently, and you can finish strong. You can finish strong because you're running with new purpose. You've got a new destiny. You've got a new destination. So follow him. Follow the course that he's laid out for your life. It may be different than what mom and dad or teachers or coaches or anybody else said, but listen, there is a path you can follow, a race you can run, and you can follow Jesus in this. Paul wrote, "For we're God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." You see, God has a plan and purpose for you, a course you're to run and complete, and he prepared it in advance. He knew you. He knew your strengths. He knew the resources you have. He knew what was going to fit for you, and he's laid out a plan. Step into the plan of God. Step into the course that he's laid out for you. Begin to run with new purpose. Know that the way he's set before you is a good way. Pastor Jeff quotes Jeremiah 29:11. "I know to the youth all the time, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you, plans for your good." Well, God's got a good plan for you. He does. And you have an opportunity today to step into that plan and begin to run that race and to complete that course and finish strong, just as Paul did. Trust me, as an old guy telling you, you won't regret it. You won't regret it. Running with Jesus and following the path that he lays out, man, you'll never regret it. What a glorious thing. Some of you may be thinking today, well, I'm sure God has a plan, and I was following it once, but I messed up, I got off course, and now I'm a long way from what I thought God's plan was for me, and I don't know how to ever get back. I mean, I don't know that he would even take me back, and, you know, I mean, I've messed this up. I don't think I've got another chance. Yeah, you're right. You're right. You don't have another chance. God only gives you the one chance. You screw that one up, you're out. You're done. Sorry. One shot and out. Listen, you know that's not right. There's another opportunity for you. You've got where there's life, if you're breathing, there's hope for you today. You can still call upon him. There's forgiveness, there's mercy, there's grace. It's not too late to recalculate. There's still a course change that's there available for you. The opportunity is there if you will avail yourself of it and call upon him. Well, I don't know what to do. Sure, you do. Just call on him. God can redeem you and redeem your past and give you another chance. It's not too late for you. Change course. It was what, in fact, it was Paul who told us that God's able to cause all things to work together for good. Even if we've failed and lost our way, God can take the brokenness and the mistakes of the past and work them for our good to teach us and enable us to complete the course that he's laid out for us. We've said it before, God's the great economist. He'll waste nothing in your life, but he'll take even the broken pieces and the ashes of the past and all of that, and he'll use it to fashion and to shape and to mold you into a way that you can finish strong in your life and you can be a blessing. Recalculating, it's all right. It's all right, because we're going to make a course change. God's got a plan for you. We don't have time this morning to recount all the stories in the Bible or the personal stories we know of people who started the course and messed up, but any of those Bible stories that Valerie mentioned this morning, start naming somebody. Abraham, well, yeah, he kind of got off course when he lied and all that. Well, what about King David? Whoo, boy, yeah, there's one. What about, I mean, we can go down the list, right? Moses, yeah, he had a problem. Well, what about Aaron? Well, had a little problem. We can find all kinds of people with bumps in the road, including the disciples when we name them. Listen, everybody's kind of failed, messed up, but they changed course. They had an encounter with God that changed the course, the trajectory of their life. They had an encounter. There's folks in this church, they could tell you all kinds of stories about where they came from and where they've been, but listen, they met Jesus and they charted a new course. And hear me again this morning, that one point to the sermon, your course can change. And it can change today by his grace. The course of your life can change. Your destiny can change. The destiny of your family can change. It doesn't matter. I mean, the choices of the past, certainly they matter, and there may still be consequences that we bear from that. But when it comes right down to it, what someone said or did, I'm going to tell you it's my confident belief that God's grace is a greater determiner of destiny than nature or nurture, than heredity or environment. I don't care who your daddy was. I don't care what your mother did. I don't care what circumstances you came out of. I don't care where you thought you were headed. You can change course today and begin to follow Jesus, and you can run a new course, and you can finish that race, and you can finish strong. You may have had a rocky start on the old course you were running, but like Paul, you can run a new course, and with Jesus, you can finish strong. You can finish strong. Let him make the difference in your life. You started a new course at Youth Retreat. You started a new course. Maybe you're starting this morning, just making that choice. You know what? That word was for me. There is something else. There is another course for me. There is another way for me. I'm going to make that choice, and I'm going to surrender my heart and life to Jesus. He'll make all the difference. Paul finished the race in Acts 20. Paul's saying goodbye to the church in Ephesus, and Paul knows trouble's ahead, but he's determined to complete that race. And so he tells them, "And now, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what'll happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace." Think of that change in Paul's course from a persecutor bent on seeing Christians imprisoned and executed, and now Paul's preparing himself to be executed, to lay down his life for Jesus. And all that mattered at the end was that he would please Jesus and finish the race and complete the race, the course that Jesus had laid out for him. And how about you this morning as we bring this quickly to a conclusion? Isn't it time for you to begin to follow Jesus? And maybe it's time to recalculate, to change course, to run the race that he's laid out for you. Maybe you got off track, but there's still time and opportunity to change course. It's not too late. It's not too late, not too late for you to do with the Lord's help what's necessary for you to finish the race and to finish strong and to allow the Holy Spirit to recalculate your course and then to run the race and complete the course he's laid out for you. But the choice is yours today. And so as we bow our hearts before the Lord this morning, I just want you to take just this minute to think about the course you're on right now. Have you surrendered your heart and life to Jesus? Are you living the life that he's called you to live? Have you surrendered your heart and life to him? If not, take this moment, whether you're here in the house or watching online, take this moment to just surrender your heart to Jesus. Tell him, Lord, I've been walking a course that I know leads to destruction. I know it's leading away from eternal life. I know it's walking away from you. This isn't the path that you laid out for me. I know that. And I know where I'm headed. It's the wrong direction. But today, Lord Jesus, I repent. And I ask you to forgive my sins. And I ask you, Lord, to grant your grace to me because I want to run a different race. I want to run the race you have for me. I want to be faithful and obedient. Some of you, maybe you prayed that prayer a long time ago and you gave your heart to Jesus, but time and circumstances have caused you to kind of veer off the path. You left the race course, and you've heard that voice of the Holy Spirit saying, recalculating so many times that you just think, I'm off in the woods somewhere now and I don't know how to get back. For you, I'm telling you this morning, the Holy Spirit's just saying, just turn to Jesus. Just come on home to Jesus. There's still a path. There's still opportunity for you. There's still a path and a choice for you. Turn to him today. If you'll surrender your heart to him, if you'll surrender your life to him, he will make the difference for you. So, Lord, help me. Help me today to surrender my life to you. Help me, Lord, to get on the right course and to run that course and to finish strong. Lord, help me to finish strong. It's never too late. Care how many times we've messed up. It doesn't matter the past. We can start fresh. We can run that course. Maybe the Lord just dropped something in your heart today and you just think, you know what? Yeah, it's not too late for me to volunteer, to serve, to get a new career, to change jobs, just to change the trajectory of your life because you're changing courses because the Lord speaks to you this morning and you want to be obedient to what he calls you to. I don't know what the Lord's saying to you this morning, but I encourage you to respond in obedience. Say yes to him. Maybe there are just things in your life. You're walking with Jesus, you're serving him, but there are things in your life that you just know, you know what, that's not going to be good. I need to change that direction in my life. I need to change course right there. I need to be more attentive. I need to be more faithful. Whatever it is, Lord, we say yes to you this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your grace. Thank you, Lord, that you still take the messes that we make along the way and you still enable us by your grace to run the race and to finish well, to finish strong. Let it be for us as we put our lives in your hands. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. While your heads are bowed and nobody's looking around, but just so I know kind of who to pray for this morning. If you're here and you'd say, you know what, I've made a choice today, whether it's about serving Jesus for the first time or just an area of your life where you feel like the Holy Spirit's tugged at your heart to say you need to make a course change and you're responding in that way to say yes to the Lord, would you just lift your hand up? Just put it up and back down. Thank you. I'm seeing hands. Thank you in a number of places. Thank you for your honesty this morning. If you're watching online, if you're still with us, you can just put in the comments, yeah, changing course, recalculating, and we'll know to pray for you as well. The Lord's grace is upon you, and his strength is there for you to chart a new course. He's laid it out before you, prepared it in advance, and there are good things for you today. I thank you, Lord, for that confidence we have. In Jesus' name, amen. and amen. I know we've gone a couple of minutes long this morning, but would you stand and receive the blessing of the Lord as you leave this place and launch out on that new path? May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen and amen. Thanks for being here this morning. God bless you. We'll see you Wednesday or next Sunday morning. Thanks for joining us today.